thanks for the plug, Ron, about the study here. Yes, we are substituting for Barney while he takes a bit of a break. We have a schedule now, so there are for the next 3 to 4 months, we will have Phil Bagby teaching, Mike Mikakowski teaching, Alan Nass, and myself. If there is a month with 5 weeks, we will have a guest speaker. So if someone would like to volunteer for that, please email me and let me know. Be happy to invite someone else to join us. The series that I've been working on for the last several times that I've taught has to do with spiritual goals. My objective behind this is, you know, we have our goals that we set, our New Year's resolutions. Here we are already in the middle of March. What I thought about was the fact that while I may have goals for my income, goals for our home, goals for my family, vacationing goals, you know, et cetera, I thought, what are my spiritual goals? And so created a series in which I hope would demonstrate to others not only that I have these spiritual goals, but that the things that I do would best emulate and show some aspect of those goals. And so the goals we've had, we started off week one with walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so what could I do to show to be pleasing to the Lord by walking worthy? And to be holy without blame, to walk in good works, to grow into a holy temple of the Lord. And so we've gone through now 14 different weeks of goals, and here we are starting with goal 15. I'm hopeful that the next four goals here that I give I'll be able to complete today, and that that will end the series. That assumes I get through this content, as there's quite a bit. And I really, really appreciate both Chip and Tony for posting. It's a lot of work, and they do it quickly. And while I give them this in advance so that they have a heads up, sometimes it's not much of an advance, and so I really appreciate them scrambling. Let's start with week 15's goal. It's from Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 23. Colossians 2, 8 through 23. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So, having read that entire passage of 15 verses, there's a lot of meat there. And there's a lot of meat, if you rightly divide it, to better understand. But for me, the goal out of this is that we are complete in him. I want to show that I believe we're complete in him, and let no man beguile you of your reward. And that's an important thing, I think, in this day and age where we have so much going on in the world, and there's so much in terms of religion that tells us that we're supposed to do this or do that. And, you know, here we are approaching what we celebrate as Easter, which started as a celebration of Passover, and then led to the sacrifice of the Lamb, which is Christ, in his death and resurrection. And there are so many religious different rituals that go along with that. And I don't want someone to look at me and say, oh, he's religious. I want someone to look at me and say, oh, wow, he's really secure in his faith. He understands how complete he is in Christ and that we don't need these traditions of men. The traditions of men, Christ spoke about often, that the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, etc., the Herodians, that they were all wrapped up in these traditions of men and not the commandments of God, and that they violated the commandments of God, making them of no effect because of their own traditions. I don't want to be one of those. I want to demonstrate that I'm complete in Christ. So let's take a look and break this down a little bit. When we look at the word, the very first word in Colossians 2:8, it says beware. The word there has to do with to be spoiled or seduced. And I'm sorry, back up. Beware has to do with take heed, to perceive, to look, to have sight. In other words, to be aware lest any man spoil you. And then the word spoil is the word seduce or spoil, to lead away. And think about that. Don't let someone else lead you away in vanity. That word is the emptiness. It has to do with not just vain, but absolutely worthless. It's empty. If we have a container and there's nothing in it, it's empty. Well, that's what they're saying, is that these traditions are vain. They're deceit. They're traditions. And these traditions are ordinances, which were Jewish traditional law, and they were of no effect. One example that Christ gives is he was condemned by the Pharisees because he and his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And Christ said, what good does it do to wash the outside of a cup if the inside of the cup is spoiled? Now think about that. You know, when we do the dishes before we use them again, do we wash the outside or do we wash the inside? We do both. And they were concerned about the outward part of the body, which were their hands, as opposed to the inside of their body, which had to do with their heart and their mind and their spirit, which was not focused on God, but was focused on themselves. As we go on to see the next word there, it talks about the rudiment. the rudiments of the world. Well, it's the bare elements. It's sometimes basic principles. And they were saying that their laws were basic principles, which they weren't. And then we get to the word fullness. This is such an amazing word. It's the Greek word pleroma. And it has to do with a filling up. And I just used the example of an empty container. Well, if you take that empty container and you fill it up to the top, if you add anything more to it, it's a waste, complete waste. And so when we are complete in Christ, we are filled up. We don't need any of these traditions or rituals. And understanding that is a very, very basic principle of understanding truth for today. Because if you think you got to do all the rituals, just read this passage again, because it really, really begins to soak in the fact that, look, why are you doing this? If you're dead with Christ, none of this matters. Think about that. If we are baptized in his death and burial, I mean, what good do these rituals do a person who is dead and buried with Christ? Everything is gone. And so to be complete means that we have been completely filled up. So you have the fullness and you have the completeness. It's pleroma for fullness. It's plurero in terms of the word for complete. And so they're very, very close. But he has blotted out these ordinances. It means he's completely erased. Completely erased. You know, it used to be when you would type a word on a typewriter and you made a mistake, you had to retype the entire page, or you had this little chemical called whiteout. And whiteout would blot out. It was liquid. You just paste over that word, and then you could retype it right on top of it. And it made the page look a little blotchy, but it blotted out what was there before. So if you made a mistake, it blotted it out. So this is what we're saying, is that we're obliterating, we're erasing, we're blotting out, we're wiping away everything that is of the tradition of men. And then it says where we have triumphed, or where he has triumphed. He has got the victory. Such an important thing, and I think such an important thing for our youth today to realize how to be victorious in Christ. I use a lot of sports analogies in some of the teaching that I do, having coached for years, which is why my handle is Dunamis Coach, Power Coach. Gaining victory, showing these kids that Christ has already had the victory. We don't have to struggle and fight for that. But we have to accept that. We have to believe that. We have to know that. And then we have no fear. And when we have no fear, Satan can't do anything to us, because we have the power of Christ available to us in every circumstance, because he's already had the victory over death. He has conquered it completely. And then lastly, we have in this passage about beguiling, beguiling of the reward, defrauding us, taking away the prize. And we don't want to lose that. And men will do that. There is enough deception out there that Satan uses and his demonic forces to beguile, to subvert, to completely hoodwink us. Someone mentioned before about how deceptive some types of salespeople can be, and how manipulative they are. Well, Satan's, we know his plan. He manipulates and changes scripture. He takes a word out. They have subverted the word subtly to make a small change. And one religion says that we can be a God by man, and we shouldn't be fooled because we know that they're empty. We know that any actions by men fall short of anything that Christ has done. He's already done it for us. Why are we continuing to struggle and to strive to prove ourselves worthy? All we have to do is believe and accept the gift, and we have life. All right, so that's week 15, week 16. Let's go to Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18, and I'm going to read through verse 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, so the word boldly is used twice. And we have the mystery here. In this case, the mystery of the gospel. We know that there are multiple mysteries. But Paul in Ephesians talks about a mystery, and we're going to go into that a little bit deeper here. But he specifically was an ambassador to the Gentiles. And that message to those Gentiles was different than the message that he gave to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And so we have seven books written by Paul to the Jew and the Gentile, and then we have seven books written by Paul to the new creation, which we, the body of Christ, are part of. And so my goal, my spiritual goal, would be praying always that I would open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. And so let's use right division and let's take this apart. Let's take a look at some of these words. First off, the word pray or prayer here. Is just that. It's a supplication. It's a honest request. It is thoroughly or and so we have prayer and supplication side by side, different words, but at the same time having similar meanings. We are reaching out to the Lord, and we're to do so boldly. Open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. The word boldly there has to do with a bluntness. It has to do with publicly speaking, with confidence, freely, openly, and plainly. And so are we plainly opening our mouth about the mystery? And my goal would be to do so, to not be afraid, but instead to be bold, to have complete confidence. The word mystery here is the word mysterion, is what this Pal Talk study is named after, the Mysterion Truth Bible Study. And it has to do with the secret. We know that the mystery was hidden, and we're going to read that here in another verse in just a moment, but it was hidden from the foundation, from the beginning, which means that it was known before, but it wasn't known since. And so as we think about this bold confidence to be able to speak out about the mystery, to have this demeanor that is almost blunt, to be able to talk to someone. I'll just share a quick story. Yesterday I was taking my dry cleaning in, and the young lady behind the cash register had a T-shirt on, and forgive me, but I'm just reading the T-shirt. It says, "Go to hell." And I told her that, you know, I was being a little bold. I said, you know, that doesn't really warrant a lot of great confidence in real good customer service when your shirt says "go to hell." And she goes, "Well, you know, you either like it or you don't like it." And I thought to myself, okay, that's a pretty bold statement. Do I believe that? If I believe in the mystery, well, you know what? You can like it or not like it. You can believe it or not believe it. It's not up to me for them to believe it. It is up to the Lord. So I told her, "Do you know what the word hell means in Hebrew?" And she shook her head, "No." And I said, "Well, it means, it's Sheol, and it means the grave. So you're basically saying, go to the grave." And she thought for a minute, and she goes, "Well, that's even cooler." And I said, "Well, we're all going to go there. So I'm not offended by what you're wearing." And she kind of laughed, and she said, "I need to tell everybody that." And I thought, here we go. Here's that boldness. So next time I pick up my dry cleaning, hopefully I'll be able to talk to her about a little bit more from the scripture and be bold to tell her that. So sorry, just a little sideline story there, but I thought it was kind of humorous. So as you think about this goal, it's we need to pray for each other to speak boldly, specifically about the mystery, not shying away, but instead to be confident and know that we know something that many do not. We have had it revealed to us, and we need others to be aware of it, so that they might come to believe as well, that we would be able to teach others to help them be enlightened the way we've been enlightened. And I can't think of a better goal in terms of our ministry for ourselves, and it's why I speak when asked to. It's why I study, is to be prepared for any question that I might be asked, that I might be bold to make known this mystery. All right, we're going to keep going with the theme on mystery, week 17, Ephesians chapter 3. So we're backing up a little bit from Ephesians 6:18, where we were just at. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 11. It says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, wherein in other ages has not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of this power." There's the word dunamis. We'll take a look at that in a minute. "Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, we just talked about mystery, a secret. Here we see that this secret has been hid and that it wasn't made known in other ages unto the sons of men. But now it is, and it is made known that the Gentiles will be fellow heirs. Well, wait a minute. We knew that. I mean, that's what the Jews were supposed to do. They were supposed to be a holy priesthood. They were supposed to make known to all nations that there was one God and that he had a chosen people, the Jews. They were to be a holy priesthood. They failed in that. But this mystery was before that, was before the beginning of what we would call time, before the foundation of the world. And Paul, previously we read, wants to make known this mystery. He wants to be bold when he tells it. And then he goes on here to say, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid. So my goal is to make all men see the mystery. How do you do that? Well, let's take a look at rightly dividing and help. Hopefully we can understand what needs to be done and how it might be done. So first we have to take a look at the word mystery. It's the word mysterion, and it means secret. Simple as that. We know that. It means that men have not known this in other ages. Now it is made known, by the grace of God, by the effectual working of his power. So Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was given a power to know this mystery. It is dunamis, it is mighty strength. It is power. It is a wonderful work. And that is how this word dunamis is used throughout the Greek, the New Testament. And as we then take a look at how this power is used, it's used to make all men see, to enlighten them, to illuminate them, so that they have this light to see with. You cannot see in the dark unless you have a source of light. And Paul was this source of light to enlighten others and make them see what he saw, what had been revealed to him, others. And so what was hidden would become enlightened. What was hidden or kept secret was now made aware to others, to him first and to others as he makes all men see. And why? Why would he do this? Well, it's because verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this purpose, this making men see this mystery, is part of God's purpose that they would know this mystery. And it was a secret that's been hid. And so Paul says, I want to reveal this. I want others to see this secret that's been hidden. And by understanding this mystery, they'll understand the manifold wisdom of God, which he purposed in Christ. And so we begin to see how this is unraveling, how the mystery of Christ plays into the mystery, the mysterium. And let's go one more week. I've got time to do so. So let's look at the last week of my goals here. The purpose of going 18 weeks is that if I repeat this three times, I have a full year of goals. And so every 18 weeks, I start all over again. And so week 18, Colossians 1, verses 25 through 28. Colossians 1, 25 to 28. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God. He is a minister according to a administration of God to fulfill, to complete the word of God. Even the mystery, which again, here we have in Colossians, just as in Ephesians, mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so my goal is to make manifest or known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which has been hid. To let others see, just as we saw in Ephesians, to make all men see this mystery, to make manifest, to make people to see this riches that have been hidden. It's like a buried treasure that only treasure hunters will discover, because they find clues that help them uncover the treasure. And that's what we have been doing by studying the Word. Uncovering these treasures, uncovering these secret mysteries that are the riches of the glory in Christ. And so, as we rightly divide this, we see that he is a minister, okay? He is a servant, a teacher, someone that is attendant to the dispensation. So dispensation is a stewardship. And so he is a servant of this stewardship, this administration of God, which was given to him to fulfill the word. The word mystery we saw earlier, it is the word mysterion. It's the same word from Ephesians that we saw earlier, that we talked about earlier. And it has been kept secret. It has been hidden. As I said, a treasure that has been hidden. And then we have the word manifest. The word manifest is the word plenero, it is to render apparent, to appear, to manifest, to declare, to show forth, to manifest. And to make something appear that wasn't there before. And it's interesting, there's a lot of research that's done that when you tell a person to focus on one thing, that they miss so many other things. There's a video that we play to show people that they need to observe better when they are coaching. And we ask them to count the number of times this group of people bounces the ball to each other. They have a basketball, and they're bouncing it back and forth to each other. We tell them, count the number of times that they bounce the ball. And so you can see people mouthing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we say, okay, how many times did the ball bounce? And someone will say 15, someone will say 18. And so why are they different? Why is one 15 and one's 18? Well, one of them obviously didn't observe as clearly as one did. And then we ask them, did you see the gorilla? And they're like, what? And we play it back in slow motion, and there's actually a gorilla, a man in a gorilla suit, that walks through the scene of them bouncing the ball back and forth. And no one saw it. No one saw it because it was hidden from them, because they did not observe with a keen eye. But once we show them that this gorilla is walking through by slowing it down and doing it in slow motion, they now see it clearly. And it's like, how could I not miss? How did I miss that? That's our job. That's my job as a servant, as Paul was, to make others know this mystery, to make manifest this mystery. And so we have the word used twice in this verse, mystery again, it's the same. Then we move to the word Gentiles here, which I'm sure everybody knows. It's all those who are not Jewish. It is nations. in the case of the non-Jewish, they were the heathen. They were the pagans. They were the ones that didn't have the God. They had multiple gods, but they did not have the God. And so the word Gentile is actually the nations or a nation. And then we see that they are perfect in Christ when they know this wisdom. And it is the word teleos, which has to do with being full or being complete. And so every man perfect, every man is complete in Christ. This mystery makes them complete. Knowing, manifesting this mystery makes them complete as the purpose we read, which was purposed in Christ. And so Paul is a minister to fulfill the word of God, which includes this mystery, which was hidden in generations before the foundation. And knowing this mystery, we are complete in Christ. And so what is this mystery? Well, that's something you're going to have to study more on yourself. But there's a clue here. It says, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the word, the phrase Christ in you is Christ among you. And why would that be a mystery? Well, because the Gentiles didn't have Christ among them. The Christ, the Messiah, was to the chosen nation. But John tells us that it's to the world, that he came into the world to save us. Now, is that really a mystery? Well, it is if you realize that the Jews were a holy nation of priests. We don't need that mediator any longer. Now, that's just a small glimpse of what else that entails. It also entails what we read earlier, that we don't need these traditions of men. We don't need these rituals. We don't need these other commandments. And while the Ten Commandments are great rules for us, there's really only two that are repeated in Paul's writings. And that is to honor your father and mother, I forget what the other one was. Guess we'll have to research that one some more. But we'll have to take a look at that at another time. And so this mystery is something that's hidden. It's something that not everybody has seen. They haven't observed or dug deep enough into the Word to have it revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. But what can we do and say to help others better understand this mystery? My goal as someone who is on Pal Talk teaching is to help others be enlightened, that they may see it as well, that they may decide to study it themselves and to go deeper. And so we will take a look at that again in the weeks to come. But for now, those are my 18 goals.